Well, good morning to you once more. I'm coming to you from Shingle Street here on the Suffolk coast on one of the last days where the sun's out. I'm here to bring you further teaching from the very practical book of James. James has been teaching us how to face trials that come in our lives. We've all been enjoying certain freedoms that have come as lockdown has eased, but we don't really know whether we're going to be sent into a deep lockdown again. In fact, we never know what trials are coming our way. There are lots of things that we have no control over, like the weather as we head into autumn, or illness, or redundancy, or persecution. So we need to be really grateful to God for the freedoms that we do enjoy. However, in verse 12 to 15 of James chapter 1, he brings us to consider a different kind of test that frequently comes into our lives, and I would suggest it probably comes on a daily basis. And that is the test of temptation. Well, let's read from James chapter 1 and verse 1, and then right through to verse 15. That'll help to remind us where we've got to in James and take us into our subject of temptation today. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. And here we come into today's teaching. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Well, we're going to go over to Di and the musicians now before we come to look further into God's word this morning. So we're just going to hand over to them as they lead us in worship. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. We hope you've had a good break. We're looking forward to getting back into James this week. But before we go any further, I do have a plea from Lane regarding shoeboxes. Thank you to all those who have contributed either items for the boxes or money. We're delighted to say that we will definitely have 100 boxes collected this year. But we could send more. However, we have a problem. We have things for the shoeboxes. We've actually got money for postage. But we've run out of shoeboxes. Thanks to COVID, people's working habits and shopping habits are different. which means that we haven't had our usual steady stream of boxes coming in. So our plea is, would you be good enough to check wardrobes and cupboards to see if you have any old shoeboxes lurking? For this year only, although they wouldn't normally be allowed, but because we are in desperate times, we will gladly take flippy lid boxes as well. If you can help, please get in touch with either Lane or myself. We'll be delighted to hear from you as we try to put even more smiles on children's faces this Christmas. But for now, we want to meet with our Lord. Spend time with him in worship and prayer, listening and responding to what he wants to say to us today. Lord Jesus, as we open ourselves up to you this morning, would you open up the heavens and rain down on us, pouring out a blessing, refreshing us again, until we are full to overflowing once more. Lord, we know that there are some in our fellowship who are really struggling at the moment. There are many reasons for this, but it is horrible to see our friends and family in this way. Lord, we know that when we are feeling flat and down, it is all too easy to take our eyes off you, to shut ourselves off from you. And that is when the evil one will try and manipulate, put us down, put temptation in our way, and try and cause division. Lord, we so pray against that. We pray for hope and healing and restoration of body, mind, and spirit, just as is needed for those we know who are suffering just now, but also for ourselves. For each one of us has our daily struggles in some way or another. Keep our eyes focused on you, Lord Jesus, and hear our cry from deep within. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wake.
Oh,
You may just be able to see the top of a yacht there making its way along the coast, enjoying the freedoms of the wind and of a beautiful day. Trials are outward circumstances that arise, but temptations are ideas and desires that formulate in our minds. No more than a mile from here is the prison at Holsley. Might just be able to make it out across the marshes there. This prison for young men and youths, also a Young Offenders Institute, holds some 300 guys who have lost their liberty because of choices that they have made. When tempted to do wrong, they have succumbed. That might relate to theft, or to taking drugs or dealing in drugs, or to violence. Each of those guys will have a story to tell. Many will point to a very difficult upbringing, and we need to be sympathetic to that. But at the end of the day, crime is a choice. They chose when tempted to do wrong and are paying the price of that. But before we judge them too harshly, we need to realise that every one of us battles our own temptations every day. So I want to consider what James has to teach us about temptation here. And here's the first of three things beginning with D. And the first thing I see is the desire of temptation. To be tempted is to be enticed. To be enticed to meet a natural desire in an inappropriate or sinful way. It's important to say that trials may be sent by God, but as it says here, God does not tempt anyone. Clearly, temptation is something from the evil one, from Satan. And in Matthew chapter 4, Satan is called the tempter. Now, sometimes people blame God for their sin. The famous Scottish poet Robert Burns once said to God, excusing his life of sexual sin, "Thou knowest that thou hast formed me with passions wild and strong, and listening to their witching voice has often led me wrong." In other words, he's saying, "Well, God, you made me this way." Another excuse when people succumb to temptation is often to say, "The devil made me do it." I remember trotting out that line to my parents on more than one occasion as a child. Right back in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, when the woman took of the fruit and God asked her what she was doing, the woman said, "The snake deceived me and I ate." Yes, the serpent tempted her to sin by taking the fruit that God had strictly forbidden her to eat. But she still had a personal choice to make, didn't she, whether to yield or not. And Adam too wanted to shift the blame for his actions. He said to God, "The woman you gave me, she gave me some fruit and I ate. It's her fault, she gave me the fruit and I ate. And it's your fault, God, because you put her here. And if you hadn't put her here, she wouldn't have given me the fruit and I wouldn't have eaten." Well, I'm afraid that Adam still is culpable, isn't he, for his own actions. We need to compare Adam and Eve's actions with those of Jesus, who was led for 40 days in the wilderness, but he resisted the devil's temptations. including turning stone into bread when he was desperately hungry. It's not wrong to be tempted. You can't always stop the thought entering your head. But it's the response, isn't it, to the desire that is critical. James firmly puts the responsibility back into our court in verse 14. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Now, I must admit, I'm tempted to go for a swim. I really do enjoy swimming and haven't been able to do a lot during lockdown. But as I came in to the beach this morning, it said that no swimming is allowed. Well, one guy was clearly ignoring it as he was swimming in the sea. In temptation, we're tempted to fulfill natural desires in sinful ways. If we're hungry or thirsty, that's not a wrong desire. But if I steal to satisfy my hunger or my thirst, then that's wrong. The end doesn't justify the means. If we consider sexual desires, such desires are clearly given by God as part of our human nature. A lot of people claim God doesn't want people to enjoy sex, but in fact that's simply not true. God created Eve as a sexual partner for Adam, saying it's not good for the man to be alone. He encouraged them to go forth and multiply. That's hardly prohibition. However, there is a right and a wrong way to fulfill sexual desires. God's word says a man shall leave his father and mother and then be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It doesn't say live together, sleep together, see if it works out, and if it doesn't, move on to somebody else. The desire is not wrong, but the temptation is always to fulfill the desire outside of the boundaries that God has set. We've looked at the desire of temptation. I want to consider now the deception of temptation. The problem with temptations is that they appeal. They are exciting. They are alluring. Each person is enticed. And so we are dragged away. We are enticed. This has the idea of something that lays a trap, or baiting a hook. Just as the cheese on a mouse trap looks appealing to the mouse, or the worm on the hook looks appealing to the fish, Satan knows how to reel us in. He sets up his candy store of attractions. He places in front of our eyes his trap. He has a knack of packaging time bombs in pretty packages, encouraging us to yield to our natural desires, but in sinful ways. David, in the Old Testament, was tempted, as we know, when he saw the beautiful Bathsheba bathing as he looked out from his balcony. He had natural desires towards her. And so he arranged to have her husband put in the front line of the battle, so he was killed, so that he could have Bathsheba for himself. So he yielded to that temptation. He thought it would bring him happiness, but that was a deception, wasn't it? He ended up with the guilt of this man's death on his hands, and the child he subsequently had with Bathsheba died in infancy, in a direct judgment from God. You see, there are always consequences that come with yielding to sin. Temptation gives birth to sin, which ultimately leads to death. Remember how God strictly had forbidden Adam and Eve from eating of the one tree in the garden. Everything else was on the menu for them to enjoy, but God warned them that if they ate of the fruit of this tree, they would surely die. They didn't die instantaneously, but it did bring about their eventual death. Satan tempted them. He challenged God's rule in their life. He said, "Did God really say you must not eat of it? You will not surely die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Satan tempts Eve with more than just a mouth-watering fruit. He tempts her with the desire to be like God herself, to have his kind of wisdom and knowledge. Eve saw that the fruit was good, was pleasing to the eye. We don't know it was an apple. It might well have been a cocoa bean, judging by most people's inability to resist chocolate. We don't know, but there was a desire on her part. There was deception on Satan's part, saying, "You will not surely die," because actually that sin did result in death. Both Adam and Eve forgot the Lord's warnings. So there was the desire of temptation, and then there was the deception of temptation. But thirdly, of course, there was the decision of temptation. The decision of temptation. Eve decided to take the fruit, and so did Adam. He decided to eat of the fruit. As a result, Adam and Eve died spiritually. Their wonderful relationship with God was broken, and it ultimately led to their physical death. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Now, we all have to make decisions when it comes to temptation. And if we're honest, all of us have fallen in this area. We have all yielded to temptation at some point. Now, our world tells us, doesn't it, to follow our feelings, to listen to our heart, if it feels right to do it. But the Bible makes it clear that when we do such actions that are contrary to his word, it actually leads to misery and ultimately to death. So what's the answer? Is there a remedy? Well, of course there's a remedy. The wages of sin is death. But Romans 6:23 continues, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." In 1 Corinthians 15 we read, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead came from a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive again." And that's the very heart of the gospel, isn't it? This is good news for sinful men and women like you and I who have succumbed to temptation. If we will accept our failings, if we will ask Jesus for forgiveness and make him Lord of our lives, we can be set free both from the consequences of our sin, but also to live a new life. And with the help of the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us when we believe, we can start to resist temptation going forward. So what now? Presuming that we want this salvation in Jesus, and that's a presumption, I don't really know if you see that as important. And presuming we want to live a holy life that pleases God going forward, is there any practical advice on how to resist temptation going forward? Well, I want to quickly flag up five R's for you now. And the first one is this: recognize that you are in a spiritual battle. Acknowledge that it doesn't go away even when you become a Christian, but that every day Satan kind of wheels out his candy store of attractions, of sinful attractions in our lives, to try and make us compromise our faith in the Lord. So we need to be recognizing that and praying to God for his help to remain strong. Secondly, number two, we need to rearm. I can't help but think of Ephesians 6 here, which you can go and look at, where we're told to put on the full armor of God that we might make our stand against the devil and his schemes. We need to be putting on that full armor. You go and read the detail. I won't go into that now. But we need to have that armor on in order to resist the devil and his flaming arrows every day. Thirdly, we need to rely on God through his Spirit to help us to resist the things that tempt us, to lay those things at the feet of God in prayer. Admit, you know, where your Achilles heel is. Admit where you struggle. Ask him for strength and ask him for the willpower to do the right thing in every situation. Rely on God by his Spirit to help you. Number four, read God's word. Absorb his commands. Consider how Jesus rebutted Satan's temptations in the book of Matthew. How did he do it? He did so with the word of God. When Satan tempted him to do one thing, he said, "It says in God's word, you should not." He was able to answer Satan's temptations with the word of God. So know your Bible. The more you read it and understand it, the more that it will come to mind in that moment of temptation. So recognize the battle you're in. Rearm yourself with the armor of God each day. Rely on God. Take all those problems to him in prayer. Read God's word. And finally, if all else fails, run from the source of temptation. Flee from it. Don't allow temptation to stay in your way. If you can't resist the sausage roll at Greg's, find another route home, avoiding Greg's. As someone said, if you don't want to be tempted by the apple, get out of the orchard. What strategies could you put into place to stop yourself being put in the place of temptation? And if all else fails, flee from it when you need to. Finally, someone once said this about birds. You can't stop the birds flying over your head, but you can stop them building a nest in your hair. And that's where we all need to be. We can't stop all the temptations coming, but we need to ask ourselves, you know, are we making it easy for Satan to tempt us? Are we employing strategies to defeat him on a daily basis? Now, you can only really achieve victories over temptation if you have God's Holy Spirit living in your life. And that only comes when you admit your sin, your need of forgiveness through the cross of Jesus, ask him to be Lord of your life, and that Holy Spirit will come in to guide you, to help you. He will be a conscience who will remind you of things that you've heard from God's word. He will be that voice in your head that says, are you really going to do this or not? But remember, it is a choice. At the end of the day, when a temptation comes, we have a choice to make, whether to do the right thing and to please God, or whether to succumb to that temptation and Satan's schemes all over again. Well, I pray that with God's help, we will be overcomers even in this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have we trials and temptations? Are we feeling weak and heavy laden? Then we need to take it to the Lord in prayer. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. As we sing the upbeat version of this song to close our service today, may our hearts be lifted, our strength renewed, our hope restored, ready to face those trials and temptations, fully equipped with the armour of God. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.